Hi, Hank.
Hi, Otto.
Hank, I'd like to ask you to think along about the project Mathemusics in a deeper sense. And this is to connect it up to the work on tetrionics by Kelvin Abraham in Australia. And I've talked with him about the same topic and project. I explained to him what Mathemusics aims to do, which is to understand how cells communicate and how the cell cycles and the communication cycles might be modeled in terms of music, because music is a very long-standing, well-known formulation for the composition of music. And music is, of course, notes and frequencies and vibrations, and frequencies are cycles. So in Mathemusics, we seek to understand how the cell communications by means of vibrations and otherwise might be modeled by music. Evidently, whatever we see in the world of physics and in the world of vibrations at a deeper level, with the parallel of music notation in relationship to these processes of vibrations, must be based, all of that must be based on a deeper level of the quantum dynamic. And that's where I try to get a connection to Kelvin's work on tetrionics. Tetrionics is an approach in which the quantum, which was postulated by Max Planck more than a century ago, can be used to describe physics from the ground up, so to say. So in looking at it in that manner, we can then see that physics starts with the quantum. The quantum has very precise properties as described in tetrionics. And then from quanta you can build energy fields. Energy fields can build matter, and matter can then interact with the energy fields in what we know as life. There is something very striking in both descriptions of Mathemusics, as you, Hank, introduce it with a connection to Pythagoras and the octaves and rhythms and frequencies in music notation.
And the harmonics.
Precisely. And something very much similar to that, but different, is found in tetrionics. In tetrionics, it turns out that once you start to understand that kind of notation, that the quantum is the basis of everything, and then the quantum, which is represented as an equilateral triangle, can be used to make larger equilateral triangles, which are boson fields or electromagnetic energy fields. But it turns out that in the interplay with atoms, specifically in the interplay with the electrons in the atoms, the electrons can take in energy in discrete amounts, which is precisely what Max Planck postulated in his description based on the measurements that they had done. And it turns out that the electron can take in energy at 8 different levels. So I was looking at an exploration between those 8 levels of the energy that the electron can take in from the electromagnetic field and the octave in music. And so separately already I asked Kelvin how he could interpret that. First, we did a session in which I explained to him what the approach of Mathemusics aims for, to understand cell communication by understanding how rhythms and frequencies connect up. And I also explained how you, Hank, have taken us from 20,000 years ago with the starting of grunts and vocalization to 2,000 years ago when instrumentation came in and Pythagoras started to explain how rhythms connect up.
It's about 4,000 years ago, but Pythagoras did a complete thing 2,600 years ago to make it more playable for everybody.
Yeah.
Like Bach did a few hundred years ago.
Yeah. So then you took us from 2,000 years ago to 200 years ago with Bach and the great composers. And basically what we're trying to do now is to bring from 200 years ago to the present, connecting that symphonic understanding of music and seeing how we can use that to understand how cell cycles connect up in our body in the creation of health. But also that we can connect that up with these findings of tetrionics of the energy levels.
Mm-hmm.
So Kelvin realized
and
that...
Could you name the eight different levels of the electrons?
That is part of the story of Kelvin, and you can find that in the recording. But it turned out that the levels of energy in the tetrionic system... the energy levels that the electron will be activated by is tied in with the structure of the atoms. And in tetrionics, by the way, the atom is conceived in a different manner. Every atom is composed of multiple units of a proton and an electron and a neutron. And so in that approach, we can then see how all of it comes together, and Kelvin realized that he needed a different kind of notation for that than he uses in physics. That in biology, and he's working on the biology part of tetrionics, there is a much stronger relevance of the interplay of the atom with the electromagnetic field. So the atom is composed of neutrons and protons and electrons. And in fact, the larger the atom, the more neutrons, protons and electrons there are. So the largest atom is composed of 120 of these neutron, proton, electron combinations, and he calls that the deuteron. And that, in fact, gives a different model for atomic physics, a quite different model. But that model is... very different also in the approach that we normally have to atoms. So instead of a little galaxy of an atomic structure as the textbooks on physics describe it, in tetrionics they are more like a solid state device, an electric device. So all of that then connects up. And what Kelvin did was to describe how he could see that tetrionics could address that level of communication between the atoms and the cellular model. Of course, the cellular model is a much, much larger scale than that of the atoms, which he has already been able to describe in detail. Kelvin already said that he has no great background in music, and I realized that Kelvin has now managed to become available online, so I suggest that we
welcome
connect
Kelvin.
Up with Kelvin as well. Hi, Kelvin.
Good evening, gentlemen. Or good morning to you guys.
Yeah, on our side, good morning. Your side, good evening. Thanks for being here. Thank you for
You're
being
right.
able to make the connection. I just gave a brief introduction to Henk and everybody else who's listening in later on where we stand for the topic of today, that we're basically talking about mathemusics, which is that model of trying to understand how cell communication might be modeled by music. I briefly summarized how Henk has already taken us from 20,000 years ago to 2,000 years ago to 200 years ago, and that we now try to bridge the gap. And I was just about to say that you've already told me that you have the notion that your musical talents or your feeling for music is very limited. But then, however, Henk is very good at the music level, and he has a very good feeling for that. So that for today, we'd like to go into the understanding of the octave from the perspective of Henk, representing the way that is looked at and experienced and used in music. So I'm hoping that we can just step into the story by Henk telling us how the octave works in the musical system, and how the octave also plays a fundamental role in making it possible for different kind of instruments, such as the drums, the string instruments, the wind instruments, the voice, which also all have a very different relationship to how we hold them, how we work with them, how we interact with them, how we experience them. And that the octave and the octave in the musical notation system has been designed and redesigned so that all of these instruments could team up together and work as an orchestra. And I would like to start, if that's okay with you, Henk, by Kelvin basically maybe asking what you're looking for, Kelvin, in being able to build the bridge between tetrionics and mathemusics. You already know of the backgrounds of mathemusics. You already know a bit about what Henk has been talking about. So today Henk will be able to tell his story. But it might be very nice if you could give Henk a kind of handle by which he can tailor his story more to what you're looking for to build a connection. Kelvin.
Okay. Give me a couple minutes. I started work on that illustration that we were discussing the other day, Otto, when you gave your explanation of mathemusics, and I suddenly had this insight into how I can relate tetrionic geometry of photons to the unit circle and Euler's equation, etc., and how I was trying to relate that back to an octave.
Yes.
I started to draw up the illustration. I've just got to shrink it, and then that'll give us a place from where to work so far as visualizing what I'm trying to explain, because there was a lot of words and it all made sense to me.
Yeah.
But anyone listening in without the picture is probably just going to scratch their heads and go, what is he on about? Mm-hmm. So I'm just
While you do that, shall I just summarize that briefly?
And again, yeah, if you want, yeah.
Then you have time to just bring it up to the table, so to say. Hank and everybody else, what
I'll
Kelvin realizes is that when you start with the quantum, which in tetrionics is represented by a triangle, an equilateral triangle, you can actually see how electricity and magnetism is part of that description. But as there is a magnetic pole in the quantum, that also means that one quantum can connect to another quantum by that electric bonding. And in fact, when you have two quanta, also called two bosons, connected together in that manner, you end up with what in tetrionics is the photon. When you look at the photon, you'll see that it has a charge field, then the magnetic coupling, then the charge field of the other boson. But that means that when you measure it, when you measure the passing of a photon, first there will be an upswing of the electric field, and then as that goes down, there will be an upswing of the magnetic coupling of the two bosons forming the photon. And then when that magnetic force field goes down, there will be the second electric field of the second boson, the second quantum, as a result of which you can see that that what physics measures as the electric wave connected to the magnetic wave, the one delayed versus the other, you can actually represent that in a circle notation, in a cyclic notation. And that was where Kelvin suddenly had this realization, aha, that perhaps is the easiest way to build a bridge from tetrionics to the octave in music. Because if you have the photon, then the electric field will have four phases, the magnetic field will have four phases, but they are a quarter angle delayed with respect to each other. That means you actually have a circle with eight elements on it. So that goes a level deeper than the alchemy with the square circle or the four-phase cycle. that has been extensively described in many ways. So suddenly, Kelvin realized that this one picture of the circle with eight turning points within it, for first four point turning points for the electric field going from zero to maximum to zero to minimum, and then recycling, but also the magnetic field, which starts a quarter phase later and goes from zero to maximum to zero to minimum, and so on. So that was the insight which came out of the previous conversation, where Kelvin also thought that rather than looking at the energy level of the tetrionic description, it might be more practical to use that cyclic notation to connect up with the Mathemusics concept. So we're just waiting for the picture to download so that Henk can see it as well. Henk, do you see it come in?
Yes, but it takes quite a long time to get 261 kilobytes.
Okay. So that'll get there. But so while that comes, maybe Kelvin, you can just add something after the summary I gave to help Henk prepare for what you would like to know about octaves and music, so that you can see how that connects up to tetrionics and physics.
For sure. I mean, like, what you said there, Otto, is pretty, pretty close to the mark. In short, I guess the simplest way to put it is that my work in tetrionics has shown this. What mathematics deals with is the unit circle. Euler used it, the sine and cosine phase relationships use unit circles, etc. All the math relates back to this unit circle to create the phase relationships between various degrees of electric and magnetic field strength. Tetrionics then stepped right outside the unit circle and said, what we have historically perceived as a unit circle phase relationship is in fact the result of equilateral geometries, charged geometries in particular. So throughout my work, particularly in QED, there's a lot of relationships I put together and illustrate showing how the equilateral charged geometries, positive and negative, electric and magnetic, have this phase relationship that can be related straight back to a unit circle, and through that, through all the math. So if you think of the unit circle as the mathematical Rosetta Stone, mm-hmm. we can use that unit circle, as the illustration will show you, towards the right-hand side, all the electromagnetic waveforms and geometries of tetrionics line up with the unit circle phase relationships. So then what popped out with what Otto was saying was, and this is where my ignorance knows no bounds, I just charge straight in and go, well, I can do this. Whether it's appropriate or not, the thing that I saw straight away that struck me was that an octave or a unit circle divided into eight gives us 45 degree relationships. The electric and magnetic fields are 90 degrees out of phase, but within them you have positive and negative, north and south phase relationships and fields, and that gives you 45 degrees. So you, in that illustration, you can see there's a direct relationship between the physicality of electromagnetic waves and their field strengths and phases, back to the mathematics, which had to be the case because tetrionics is just a geometric reinterpretation of physics and the mathematics of physics. And then I thought, well, if that's the case and we can divide a unit circle up into an octave, and there again, I don't know whether it goes F to F, that's just what I assumed. This is where Hank and Otto have to give me guidance and mm-hmm. see if there's some way to illustrate the octave as phases in a circle, so that it starts from F, goes back round to F via that sine wave I've drawn there. I've seen a couple yeah. illustrations in my wanderings that sort of suggest that this might be possible, but Then again, a lot of the illustrations also have musical scales divided into 12. So it doesn't present a big problem if it's divided into 12, because then they're just a different slice of the pie, so to speak, mathematically. And we just then relate that back to the field geometries to see how it relates. But if we can flesh in or fill in the details on the musical side from the mathemusics theory, I think we've then got a real Rosetta Stone where for the first time we can relate music to math and the unit circle and to electromagnetic fields and EM phase relationships, so that there might be something that we can pull out of that to give us a completely different take on mathematics and physics and math all in the one illustration.
Yeah. Hank, I'd like to give a bit of a bridge to your story, and I'd like to sort of translate a bit of what Calvin has just said with this wonderful, clear picture.
The illustration is received by now, yeah.
Yeah, so that's Tetrionics picture 98.01, which is where Tetrionics then connects to the mathemusics. And Hank, I'd like to just shortly introduce what you said and suggest that then you later take it on in your presentation and unfolding of it all, and that we make a separate recording of that, so that we can have the introduction of the bridging between Tetrionics and mathemusics, and music can be separate from your exposé of what you see, how it connects.
Yeah.
So the connection, as we might be able to bridge it now, is much beyond where we thought what we would need to start when we spoke about this earlier. Previously, we were still trying to see if there was a relationship between the triangular shapes of tetrionics, building up from one triangle to an eight times larger triangle, in what in tetrionics is described as the energy levels, which drive the electron. But now, with this picture, suddenly we are much further ahead, because in this picture, then everything that is described in the books on tetrionics, and Calvin, thank you so much for writing those, that what is described at that level as triangles is now immediately connected to how it is also tied in with this circle notation. And with this circle notation, of course, there is an immediate connection to everything you have already spoken about, Hank, in music. So everything that we have discussed in mathemusics on the topic of rhythms and frequencies and how they connect up, and also how rhythms and octaves come together, how octaves and the five-fold stepping of the quints are all part of the tuning of these rhythms in music. But in mathemusics, what we are looking for specifically is how we can use that understanding to get a better grip on the relationship between health and disease, because health in that approach is the harmony of the frequencies forming a larger, much larger, and even more large pattern in which the notes, but also their higher and their lower harmonics, all interconnect, forming a large tapestry in a similar manner as in tetrionics, the triangles make larger electromagnetic fields. But most importantly, in this picture, Tetrionics 98.01, we then have this bridge between this triangular notation, the equilateral triangles of tetrionics, to this cyclic notation, which is used in mathematics, and which is the base of the cell cycle, but also the notation of music in the octave. And so that at this level, we actually could say that music now has been brought up to the quantum level too. And Hank, you have already in so many ways implied that music as you know it, in it contains much more insight, which has much more meaning than just the notation of music. And you've already shown how your understanding is very powerful and relevant in the understanding of how cells communicate and form this large tapestry of harmonic frequencies interlinked and interlocked. And I'd like to ask you to now build up on this picture and your understanding of the octaves in music to basically, for everybody, give a kind of understanding of what the function is of the octave in music and musical compositions, with now the understanding that in a way we already are talking about the frequency attunement at the quantum level. Before you go into your exposé on this, Henk, I'd like to briefly ask you, is this enough starting point for you to work with, or is there anything else you need from me or from Kelvin to help you better put your story in place?
In my ignorance, I think I can work with this. But that's my math is not so well done as your math, so likely to hear a few mistakes from me, but nevertheless it's about the big picture and how this big picture is composed. Mm-hmm. and what I see in your pictures, Kelvin, that it's very well detailed. And so you get this situation of the Pythagorean comma, because these are no circles, but these are spirals, vortexes, music, and levels of. Yeah. But I will explain that later in my exposé. But it's very, I'm very delighted to see also the photons included, because that's exactly where this vortex spiral is about. So what you see in this ABC to H thing, that's already a spiral. Yeah. Normally in two dimensions we call it 360 degrees, but it's actually a spiral. For the moment, it's enough to start with.
Okay, so that's excellent. And for the people who are listening, I'd just like to add a very important detail, which is that where Kelvin has an excellent description of how we can see physics and the structure of reality from the basis of the quantum up, Henk, on the other hand, is very much anchored in experience, in how we live it, how we sense it, and how we can work with it. So Kelvin has a notation but implied all the relevance for the universe and for our lives, and Henk takes it from the approach of how we experience it, but with that understanding of that underlying logic and coherence, and thus a description. So in that sense, Kelvin focuses more on how we can describe it, and Henk more on how we can experience it. And between them is this quest for a way to be able to describe it, which we will now separately explore in Henk's story. So I'll just end the recording of this part of the talk and then immediately come back to you for Henk's story. One moment, please.